Welcome to LEGIONPODCAST. Oh, so much spelling. As long as there's no math.
This is a non-math show.
Exactly. So, folks, I am Paul, and today I'm an agent of fart. That's right. I am finally actually reading farts. I am finally actually reading Tom Strong.
Oh.
And it's something I kind of dabbled in with the first edition, but I never got around to getting the second and, you know, subsequent editions. And I kind of had been reading the, the Terrifics. And then it's like they came to the Tom Strong thing, and I'm like, I don't really have the right grounding for this. So, it feels like forever ago that I popped an order on for the Tom Strong compendium, and I honestly thought it was never going to actually come out, and then it did, and so it is the entire 36 issues of the original series.
Ooh,
and
that was a good book too. I like that book.
So good. And so I'm only a few issues in. Like, I'm kind of rereading stuff that I'd read before, but I really dig this book. It is I came in for the Alan Moore of it, and I stayed for the Chris Sprouse of it, because God, beautiful. And you know, Sprouse and Gordon, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good looking book, and you got Todd Klein on letters, so. So, you know, I mean, ain't nobody writes down Alan Moore's words as nicely as Klein does. And just gorgeous artwork throughout. And it's a fun book. So
I need to take that or find my issues. One of the two.
Exactly. Yeah. It's always worth reading. And, it is one of those things where, I kind of stalled out in his novel, his sort of three-part tribute to his home. And I'm even forgetting the name of it.
Is that Voices from the Fire?
No, it's like a three-volume book. And it's like the first one is just so dense with, you know, sort of people and places and very little actually happening. And it's really, you know, you got to get through to that second book, and it's a struggle. And it's not, again, it's not that I don't like what he's writing. It's just that it's a lot. Getting back to something like this, with his words interpreted by a great artist like Chris Sprouse, it's a win for me. That's what I got. How about you, sir?
But I'm Al, and this week I was an agent of Turtle. Tiny underwater reptile taking a little excursion.
That's great.
So yesterday I'm walking the dogs, and I'm coming back towards the house, and I happen to look down. And thankfully I did, because I didn't step on him. There's this little baby turtle. I mean, he's smaller than, like, he's like barely half my phone. He's like 2-3 inches. Wow. Must have just hatched. He's just walking down the sidewalk. Not even like on the road or going across or something. He's just walking right down the sidewalk. Hey, what's up? So I'm like, oh, you got hatched somewhere about here, and you're trying to get to the water. So I brought the dogs in real quick, got a plastic glove, picked the little guy up, and he's like, what's going on? And kind of kept him going in that direction. He was going in towards the water to get him to where he wanted to be.
Nice.
And we just watched him. My wife came out with me, too. We just kind of watched the little guy, put him down somewhat near, and watched him, like, realize, okay, now I'm not going to be eaten.
Yeah.
And watched him amble his way into the water, into our retention pond behind us. Because, we have a bunch of turtles in there. So stands to reason, occasionally, it's one of them might find the place to put a nest that was probably not the best place.
The critters, they make those mistakes. We've had more recent, rabbit problems with the dogs again this year, and, with them choosing to nest poorly. Well, then they went and ate, Jan's sunflower seedlings. So I get the feeling that she has declared it open season. And,
See, luckily for our bunnies, they're all on the opposite side of the retention pond.
Okay.
So we just kind of watch them. We sit on the lanai in the morning and we could watch the turtles come out and sun themselves and watch some bunnies sit out there on the other side of the pond. And it's like, oh, look, hi, bunnies. They're all the way over there.
Yeah. Ah, the lanai.
The only thing they have to worry about is the occasional, you know, cat that's, you know, comes out.
Yes.
With, hey.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And they scamper off.
Exactly.
But yeah, crazy. Got to see the little turtle. It was fun.
Nice.
I was like, oh, that was a nice way to start the week.
Absolutely. And, you know, we need those. We need those things. We need those things to sort of be there to counteract all of the
crap.
All of the crap. Exactly. But
crap.
Always with the crap. But the thing I really like is when we have an issue like this to do.
Yes.
And you know, we have this absolutely stunning Kalman Andrusovsky cover of Starfire, who is apparently being welcomed to Rebels.
Apparently. No one told the Rebels that.
Well, that's about right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one tells them anything.
So, yeah, like I said, that's a cover by Kalman Andrusovsky, and yeah, Starfire. And the title of this story is What Happens in Vega?
Just stay in Vega.
Yes, exactly. So we are on the planet Maltus. Renowned as the cradle of life, it attracts pilgrims from across the galaxy. Warning. Entry invalid, pending revision. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Well, since Starl made that his headquarters.
Exactly. Exactly. It can't have gone well. Oh, dear. What has happened there? Oh, so many pages gone past. All right. Sorry, I'm...
You didn't even pick up, I can.
There we go. It's just a matter of the book going nutty. All right. So we see on the TV, there is something about Legion. Palpable excitement and a record audience expected for the execution of Starro the Conqueror. Scheduled for midday, Kalanor Standard Time, the beheading will be broadcast live and carried out personally by King Despero. Now, I do note, I guess it's the human counterpart, isn't it? Docs is looking at it with dismissive disgust. Despero's approval ratings have jumped 20 points since he chose to turn his private revenge into public entertainment. And what does Vril Docs, leader of the resistance, liberator of the Vega sector, get? I'm going to guess not what he wants.
No.
Just a guess.
Not at all.
No, there's pictures with his face with, universal crosses through it. No Docs. And it says, Legion, get out. And Docs equals death. Despero was right.
It's my favorite.
Despero was right. Good Lord.
Wait, did this... When was this out? Was this out at the same time as... This was after Morrison's X-Men, right? With the whole Magneto was right thing.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Because this came out in sort of 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
And that was like 2001.
Four, right?
Like it was early on. Yeah. Yeah. With the Magneto was right stuff. Anyway,
that makes me laugh. I didn't even notice that before. I just caught that now. The
funny. Well, I love that. I mean, it's written on with kind of tough to read type, so easy to miss.
Oh yeah, this is definitely well post. This is like the Utopia era.
Right. Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah. So yes, Rebels, industry nickname for the metahuman inner circle of Legion, licensed extra-governmental interstellar operatives network, Commander Vrildox, C, son of Brainiac. Key operatives, Adam Strange, Captain Comet, Wildstar, Amon Hak, CG, Xylon, Bounder, Tribulus. Threat rating, oh, they got 5 stars, and that is from the Justice for Profit Review. And as I said, it's What Happens in Vega, brought to us by Tony Bedard, writer, Claude Saint-Aubin, penciler, Scott Hanna, inker, Jose Villarubia, colorist, Travis Lanham, letterer, Sean Ryan is the associate editor, and Brian Cunningham is the editor. And as always, the art is killing it.
Oh, God, yeah. I did not realize reading this back then how good he was at, like, the expressions and faces.
Yes.
I mean, he's up there. I've said it before, but, yeah, he's up there with McGuire.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's no small feat. Like, so, there's tons of it around here. Like, you look at the image of Docs on that sign, and you look at Amon Hak's face in the next conversation, and
yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So Doc says, I've spent years navigating the sea of public ignorance. I'm frankly stunned that someone like Despero could be seen as a hero while I get death threats. And and Doc says to Wildstar, take it from someone who knows. You spend enough time around Docs and you'll want to kill him too. And she says, Strata said the same thing.
Yep.
Seriously, says Docs, how can people blame, and this is through a viewfinder of some sort, and it looks like the Savage Dragon is right behind him.
Yeah.
He says, how can people blame the Starro invasion on me? Because Starro struck here first, says Hawk. Don't you remember him taking your sprocking robot army and zap? Never mind. anyone see where that came from? And immediately he's got a force field just around him.
Yep.
Anyone see where that came from? And what's the Dominator's name?
That's Xylon.
Xylon, right. He's out there. We got Bounder over the side. We've got Strange and Comet at the front, and Strange says, negative, look for the muzzle flash if he fires again. Captain Comet, scan the crowd with your telepathy. Pick out the assassin. Are you kidding? Almost every mind in range wants you dead. And we see a guy, sort of a lizardy-looking guy, looking at the gun and saying, lousy scope. Comet pops in behind him and says, you're under arrest, dirtbag. They didn't say you could teleport. You might want to do your homework before you shoot at super people. Now, if you could please tell the nice green man what the going rate is for blowing his head off. What? Nobody paid me to do this. I'm a patriot, and there are millions more who won't rest until that bastard pays for ruining Maltus. And Strange looks at him and says, this isn't going to stop, Docs. You can't rebuild here. I might have a place in mind for your new HQ. And so we twist around half a parsec away. We've got a Legion ship. Looks like at least one guy from Despero's planet. And it says, repeat, all cargo in this subsector is subject to Legion inspection. And we get into the cargo ship, and that's where we have these aliens. Failure to comply will result in your destruction. And the one guy says, but we don't have any cargo. And he says, don't waste your breath, Jalik. If they're quick, we might still deliver our passenger on time. Charmo, transport to Legion Patrol. Attach your docking tube. We'll open as soon as you're ready. Sproggin' space cops. Okay. Seals established. Pressure's balanced. Ka-ching. And then you get these guys coming on. They're clearly Tamaranians. They come in out of the way and knock this guy aside. Show me the good stuff, he says as he pulls a gun on him, or out the airlock you go. We told you there's no cargo. Look, do yourselves a favor and go before you. And he kicks him in the face. They're holding out, mates.
He's, what's that guy's name? I just realized what he looks like. What was it, Salek from the Green Lantern Corps?
He does look a bit like him. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, must be one of his alien race too.
Yeah, perhaps. Was he red? I guess he was, wasn't he?
I think he was. Yeah.
Yeah. Rip out the deck plates if you got it, but there's definitely something special on board. And they kind of look at some, they open a door and they look in and it's bloody Nass. And there it is, Starfire. Is that any way to speak to royalty? Ah, yes. And her Frickman tag says Starfire, Coriander, Homeworld, Tamaran, Flight, Strength, Energy Projection. You're damn right. And she shows them. She gives them a sample of it. And
yeah.
scree, and they're out. This was supposed to be a low-key homecoming, she thinks. No fuss, no fanfare, but it seems the Vegas system's crime rate has only gotten worse while I was away. But please, Princess, you'll blow out the hull. On your feet, gentlemen, you have nothing to fear from me. You pirates, on the other hand, are a disgrace to Tamaran. Is this what my sister has reduced our people to? No, my princess, the queen still leads what's left of the fleet. But we deserted her years ago. I mean, she's crazy. We're just trying to survive. No excuses. You're criminals and you shall face justice. Captain, lock them in my cabin and take them to the nearest law enforcement. And he says, I am so very sorry your journey was interrupted like this. And she said, you did well getting me this far. I shall go the rest of the way on my own power. And so we go back to over to Ran. And and it says, rendered sterile by a godlike entity, Crossref Sinar, the Demigorge. Or the Demiforge? Demilorge? I can't read that.
Demigorge? I don't know.
Yeah, it's this, red lettering on a, no. Ran is now abandoned. The surviving Ranian refugees now reside on Throne World. Crossref New Ran.
Okay, that I didn't know. I thought there was splitting with Thanagar, but
yeah,
they're on Throne World, so that's the Starman, right? The pole of its Dicko, yes. Starman.
That's right. Okay, I was mixing it up with some. I think I was mixing it up with Throne World.
Yeah. That's what it was called. Yeah, Throne World.
Yeah, you're right. No, absolutely.
Damn.
And as we know, that had gotten some play for a while around that time, right? Because Starman had ended, 3 years before this? 4 years before?
Starman was like, wasn't it like 94 to 2001?
Oh, was it that early?
Because there's only 80 issues. I mean, 80 issues is a lot, but still, it wasn't like 10 years, and it did start with Zero Hour.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Okay, fair enough.
Let's see.
Anyway.
2001.
Okay, there you go. So 8 years before it had had some play.
But still, you'd still be remembering it because it was, brought up somewhat recently at least.
Yeah, absolutely. He says, I saved this planet dozens of times over the years, almost since the moment Sardath first whisked me up in his Zeta Beam. But all you have to do is fail once. This was not your failure, Adam Strange. What happened here was an act of God beyond anyone's ability to prevent. And Doc says, an oddly fatalistic statement from a man of science, Sardath. Could it be that the inventor of the Zeta Beam lacks imagination?
Heck. Yeah, that's what we expect.
Yeah, and he says, that was the sound of my patients running out. Let's go, Adam. I have new work to attend to back on New Ran, says Sardath. All of it more important than whatever this uncouth clone has to say. Hold on, Sardath. I asked Docs to invent a way to bring Ran back to life. Impossible. The shockwave unleashed by Sinar's death wiped the planet clean. If there was any way to restart Ran's biosphere, I would have done it. Oh, but there is a way, says Docs. But not where the planet sits at the moment. I will resuscitate your adopted world, Adam Strange, but I'm going to need some heavy equipment. And the biggest Zeta Beam your father-in-law can construct. And we go over to Kalanor. Tickets for the execution of Star of the Conqueror completely sold out, according to the Kalanor Clarion.
Which I'm sure we can always trust.
Always, yes. Yes, exactly. And we see Starro sort of, kind of bent over, and he's like, this is not happening. This is not happening. This is not happening. And we get an announcer saying, and now the moment you've all been waiting for the scum from another galaxy, who caused such grief for us all, will learn the meaning of justice at the hands of the mighty Despero. And then the crowd is Despero. And we get three very specific looking dudes standing in front of the thing. I'm not sure what that's all about, but
yeah, all the mustaches.
Yeah, it's weird. I was like, I would have expected it maybe to be like a stooge for each, but yeah. Despero comes wandering out there with a ginormous sword.
Yeah, that's ready, huge.
Ready to give Starro the separation his head so craves. He says, you hear that, you faceless freak? That is true devotion. And it shall grow twice as loud when I make a fountain of your neck. And he's reared up with the sword. And name?
Astrid Stormdaughter.
Right. She comes in and says, get away from him. He says, no, there shall be no reprieve. And the knife, the sword is making its way to his neck fairly quickly, and it gets stopped by the other guy, Smite, yes, who puts an axe over Starro's head and says, guess again, I've been dying to have a go at you. And Despero is kind of knocked back. And Stormdaughter says, Master. And he says, Stormdaughter, you came back for me? She says, we never abandoned you, Lord. And she takes off his shackles. And Despero is fighting with Smite. The sword has been smashed. And he says, you think you're a match for me? Nobody humbles me in my own realm. And he zaps him. Meanwhile, Stormdaughter kind of zaps him from behind, and he screams, and she says, hold, Master, let me take some of this brute's vitality and place it into you. And she absorbs some energy from him and pops it into a very shocked-looking Starro. And now for the execution your people really want to see, says Smite, and rears his axe back, and Despero grabs it as it comes down and says, you know nothing of my people or my power. And Stormdaughter says, time to go. And, she's got Starro in tow, and there's a sort of a whirlwind of Kirby crackle. And Smite says, wait. Haven't you thirst for vengeance, Stormdaughter? We are here for the Master. Nothing else matters, she says. And he says, have you no pride at all? And Despero screams after him, cowards, I will find you. I will find you and I will hang your bloody skins upon my castle walls. Yes, decorating tips from Despero.
That's going to be on the what's it called again? I think that's Martha Stewart's new show.
There you have it. Yes.
They're absolutely working together. They're doing a project, I heard.
She's like, I've worked with Snoop. Now it's Despero.
Yep. Smite. Of course he's being all cranky about this. Because he's the one, he betrayed Starro.
Yeah.
So, of course, he's like, no, you must get vengeance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going well.
Yeah, because I was the one who was wrong. I screwed up.
Exactly. So we're back into the Vegas system, and Starfire is flying around. She says, I did not think returning here would stir up such emotions, but these ancient worlds seem to scowl disapprovingly as I fly past. Maltus looks the same. Every bit of its surface paved over by slums and skyscrapers. I pity the wretches who live there, never knowing the coolness of the grass beneath their feet. And then there is bright Okara, where the warlords trained me in the ways of combat. I still feel a kinship to them. Perhaps I could make a home among them, now that Earth no longer feels so welcoming. So this is definitely post-52, right?
Oh, yeah. This yeah. is, let me see.
Because this was Blackest Night, right? So, yeah.
Blackest Night just finished, let's see. I think it's fully over. But I'm looking now. Yeah, no, yeah. We are up to... This should be around the time of Brightest Day starting.
Okay.
Which all I did right. say last time, people, but I was because I had the wrong month. But let me just double check and make sure I have the right month here. Yep. This, yeah, Brightest Day is starting up.
Right.
So.
And she says, you know, I had a life back on Earth. I had friends and a purpose and a man I loved. But Dick Grayson does not love me anymore. And we see, of course, the Titans of old, really. I mean, it's even like, you know,
Jericho.
Yeah. Jericho's in for one thing. We've got Donna in her old Wonder Girl costume. We've got, you know, Disco Nightwing. And so there you go. She says, I cannot be on the same planet with him. Not right now. Below is Euphorix, perpetually safe and unchanged beneath its planetary shell. If only I could have shielded my heart like Euphorix.
So this was before they decided that Starfire can't even tell which person is which.
Right, yes. The Citadel, on the other hand, has changed, rebuilding their palisade, shoring up their defenses. Oh, if only my homeworld could do the same. But there was nothing left of Tamaran to rebuild. The Scions and their implosion bomb saw to that. There was nothing but the empty hole in space where my home once shone in the Vegan sun. Its absence is as glaring and raw in its emptiness as the hole in the Manhattan skyline where the Twin Towers once stood. I did not have to see this to know I have no home. She cries, and her tears float off into airless space. And she thinks, I have... Yeah, it's a neat bit, right?
Yeah. I like that.
And what I like is that it's like accurate to what that would be like, right? Like the way it's drawn. That's really cool.
Yeah, even for somebody, you know, like, okay, let's go with the fact that this person can survive in space.
Yeah.
But still, you know, things happen.
I have felt that all too keenly since my one true love forsook me, but I should have known better than to come back here. All right. Wait, what? Oh, dear. Hang on. There we go. It just does not want to turn that page.
Oh, of course.
There we go.
Okay, I was going to say.
Yeah, it. There we go. And there's a big flare. And she says, oh, what is that? I can't see, but the sudden tug of gravity tells me what is happening. And to call it impossible scarcely begins to cover it. And she looks, and there's Tamaran again. And I know this because a planet appears and she says, Tamaran?
That's kind of a hint.
Yeah. And next, Vega's new Green Lanterns. It's sad, but this, I think, means that it is drawing to an end soon. It's a damn shame.
Got like a year. If you were buying this at the time, you have like just over a year left.
So it went to, did it run 24 issues?
28.
Oh, it was 28. Okay. Well, we got a long way to go.
Yeah, we still got like another couple months worth of this.
Because I was thinking, like, when you said Brightest Day, I thought, oh. They're going to be wrapping this up soon, just because of the impending change, as they say.
Yeah, but this is cover dated June 2010, so we still got like a year before.
Yeah, okay.
The change happens.
Yes, and we get some books that get to kind of run out their time. And
28 issues. Oh, yeah, and the last one came out in May of 2011.
Yeah.
So just before all that. So exactly. Who knows if they were canceled for sales or they were canceled because, well, might as well end it now because it's we're not going to do a series next in the new.
There it is. 2010. They had this Fandex thing. And I think this is kind of one of the things that sort of started off sort of a lot of the of this period. You know, you had, you know, the original Supergirl coming back and or sort of something similar to the original Supergirl.
This is around the time of the Sterling Gate Supergirl.
That's right. Yeah. So it would have been. Yeah, it was a few years ago. It was before, obviously, before Infinite Crisis. But this Fandex thing kind of leans in towards what that was. And this was like that whole idea of him coming off a ride at Six Flags, and they're and they've got all these different, you know, Superman family characters up there, and a little thing that explains about them. And he was reading the one about Supergirl, and it was like, you know, just all about, you know, Matrix and the this and the that. And it's like, oh, my God, what have we done? And
yeah. On the other hand, I've always said, though, you can make any character too complex. You can make Nightwing too complex instead of just saying former, you know, sidekick of Batman. Now his own identity. But you could also spend, you know, 8 paragraphs if you want to on it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But it was more the fact that it was like, wow, this is not what that character was made to be. And
point.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was yes, you know, shape-shifting protoplasm, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm out. And so these little Fandex things like look kind of like, you know, when you buy a thing of like Pantones, for example, and it's like a little thing that sort of swings out on a circle, and so you've got all these characters and things about those characters, and
yeah. Although I will just say one little snarky thing.
Yeah, please.
About that version of Supergirl, it's still the one with the longest running solo series.
Very true.
I mean, for all you say about that, it's like, yeah, and I agree, that's true. That is not what the character was created to be, and that's true. Or at least what you're saying he said, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
But also to be fair, it is the longest running Supergirl series.
Absolutely. And I mean,
so just to say, just like, well, on the other hand, just saying, you know,
that in the hands of a lesser writer than Peter David, you know, I mean, that's really what that came down to, is like, yeah, well, you know, he's not doing it anymore. And but yeah, it had a good run. And
speaking of that Supergirl title, the same month as this issue.
Yeah.
Supergirl number 52, guest starring a certain green skin, purple suited, wet lab coat wearing Legionnaire.
That's right. Wonder which one.
Yeah. You have your hints, people.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Wow.
And still Sterling Gates. Yeah. Oh, that was a good run, though.
And Retro Boot was back by this point, so.
Well, I don't see a Legion book.
No, because it's still a year, isn't it? Well. It started sometime in this year.
Unless they skipped a month, but there's no Legion book cover dated this month.
Yeah.
It jumps right from the Justice Society to Looney Tunes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, yeah, because that would have been volume 6.
Well, how that didn't get that far, though, before they had to restart. Like, what, 14, 15 issues?
First issue had a, the first issue was July 2010.
Oh, that'd be why then, yeah. That's a month later.
Yeah. Yeah, so May 19th is actually published May 19th, 2010, yeah.
Yeah, I looked the next month and I see that cover here, yeah.
So, but that, you know, again, it's the so which Brainy is it going to be? Is it going to be 3 Boot? And I feel like it was.
It kind of looks like the Retro Boot one.
Does it? Okay, great.
Yeah. By the cover. And since that's the one that I've been most active recently.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
Final Crisis came out before this, so.
I would suspect that there was some. Perhaps some sort of, you know, checking back and forth at the time.
Yeah, I think the last appearance of the 3 Boot would have been probably the early issues of this series.
Fair. Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Good point. Anyway, so there we go. That's some stuff.
Yeah.
Anything to plug, sir?
I have a new episode of the show coming out hopefully soon. Although by the time this one comes out, it would have been out a few weeks ago. But yeah, Resurrections and Adam Warlock and Thanos podcasts. ResurrectionAdamWarlock.tumblr.com, or just type in Adam Warlock or Thanos in the little podcast search box. There's probably episodes out right now after our JLMA episode.
Because
I did one too. Issue 13 with Batman and Jay Garrick.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that was awesome. Wade and Ordway.
Yeah, right? Thank you.
So good. But we did a couple issues after episodes after that covering the early issues of the Steve Englehart, Marshall Rogers, Silver Surfer with all the Soul Gems and what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, all kinds of shenanigans, what they were up to, what the Soul Gems were being used for right before Thanos decided to put them together and put them on his glove.
Dang. And I tell you, we still have a glove upstairs in Sarah's room. It hangs on the bedpost. The battery works sometimes.
I just got my little plushy Thanos up there.
That's awesome. Oh, but speaking of which, Starlin tweeted something about how he, you know, went to McDonald's and got himself an Adam Warlock Happy Meal. Like, how cool is that?
I might have to get one of those.
Yeah, so, you know, all these years after he created the character and...
There's Happy Meals. Go figure.
It's crazy, right? Like, yeah. And when you think about the circumstances under which a lot of that stuff was created, it's just kind of funny.
The abused substances and...
Yeah, exactly.
Using it to attack, you know, his treaties on organized religion and everything, that whole original series, and now it's like, and now they're Happy Meals.
There you have it. There you have it. Everything that is new is old again, or something like that.
It all comes back around.
It all comes back around, indeed. All right. Well, I guess we could wrap this up, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, folks, like, send a message to LegionSubstitutePodcasters@gmail.com and let us know your thoughts on the arrival of Starfire into the Rebels universe, as well as the sudden reappearance of Tamaran. And you can also share that with us on the Facebook group, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. And there we go. We'd love to hear from you. I'm like, do I have a whole outro? And it's... And of course, I don't. I just have to say GOODBYE.
KATARAMENIASFALISI.
You're damn right.
Yep.
And we will see you guys next week.